Thank you, Frank. Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing this morning? Great service so far. Hopefully we don't mess that up, right? Well, I'm Paul Ewing, and this is a picture of my family, my wife Melissa and our three sons, Noah, Jonah, and Elijah. They are back in Buffalo, New York, as we speak, and I am looking forward to being home with them tonight. We have served in Japan for 16 years now. We went in 2001. I just wanted to give you a little update before I begin my sermon. Start by saying thank you. I can't say thank you enough while I'm here. And again, if you hear nothing else, this is not a license not to listen after this, but if you hear nothing else, please hear that I say thank you. Because without your support, your financial support, but even more so your prayer support, we would not be able to accomplish God's will in our lives. We would not be able to serve in Japan. So we are there as your hands and feet, as God's hands and feet. So thank you. Again, this is Japan, the island nation of Japan, and we minister in that red box. North American Baptist Conference has been there since 1951, turning that over to the Japanese in 1978. And so there's 12 churches there, and we are one of those 12 churches, a church plant, and we started in 2009. These are the NAB missionaries who serve there. Oops, I went too far. In the upper left-hand corner, Shan Reed. She's been there since 2001 as well. Yudi Nakano, a fellow Canadian, our only Canadian, sorry, who is there. She's from Edmonton. She's been there since 2010. There's our family and then the Johnsons, Ken and Rochelle Johnson. They are lay folks just like you. They sense God's call on their lives saying, come, help in Japan. They're there just to fill in for us for this year and then for Shan as she comes on home assignment next year. But they're not theologically trained. So they are just there to help out, which is a serious godsend pull. So please, as I'll say it later, continue to pray for them. These are the Japanese pastors of the JBC. They're the ones that I call the rock stars in Japan because they're the ones who have made serious sacrifices in order to lead the congregations that are there, to lead the Japan Baptist Conference. So please continue to pray for them as well. This is a picture of our church. The church building is in the upper left-hand corner. We meet in an office building. So our church sanctuary and little classroom that we have behind it is smaller than your boardroom. So a very small facility, but God has used it mightily nonetheless. While I was here 5 years ago, I said that there was mostly the Ewing Five and Shan with about three or four other people who were worshiping with us on a Sunday. Now we average between 29, 30, 32, somewhere in that range on a Sunday. Two services, one is in Japanese and another one is bilingual. We do Japanese and English. And I will save you today from having to listen to me do Japanese and then translate for myself into English, which seems backwards, like you would go English into Japanese, but it's really easier to go the other way, start in Japanese and come back in English. Anyways, we have seen some amazing things happen in the last 4 years. We've seen baptisms. We've seen God work on the hearts of people in Japan. And we know that it's supernatural, that it's not us. It's God's drawing of people to himself. And it's been our responsibility to come alongside them to help them understand what this call is, what this dwelling inside of them is. And that's the Holy Spirit. So baptisms, other people coming into our church, either returnees from other ministries or people who have left the church, given up on church, and we have brought back into our church. So God has just been working mightily over the last 4 years. A lot of what our ministry revolves around is gospel ministry. And those of you who have heard me speak already, it's amazing to me just the amount of influence gospel, black gospel, not like Bill and Gloria Gaither gospel, black gospel music can have. You know, Hezekiah Walker and you know, Kurt Franklin, those kind of folks. In a very very kind of stoic and Germanesque kind of culture, this black gospel music really touches their hearts. And so it's something that we've been able to capitalize on, right, using every opportunity that we can for Christ in order to share his gospel message, in order to shine for him. Relationships is what it's all about, building relationships. beyond being a pastor at a church, beyond being the field director, it's my privilege to be the person who is the ambassador for Jesus Christ to the people in my neighborhood. To be the one who gets to share Jesus Christ with the parents of my son's soccer kids. That's a privilege for me, and it's because of you, so thank you. I'd ask for a prayer for a few things. I'd ask that you would pray that God would work on the hearts of the Japanese people, drawing them to him. There's so many things in the culture that are barriers to them understanding who Jesus Christ is. Even understanding that there is a single creator God, a God who loves them, is so foreign to them. So pray that God would work on their hearts, because we can share with them, we can shine to them, we can be examples to them, but we can't change their heart. Only God can do that. So pray, pray that God would draw their hearts to him. Pray as well for our church. As our church has grown, as we've experienced, you know, if you want to say success, as we've been growing as a family and maturing as a family, pray that we would continue to have unity, that we would continue to be on the same page, that those one another commands, those one another commands in the Bible would grow fruit, would be borne out in our church in unity. And pray that we would mature in Christ as a church. I look out here and I see people that maybe have been Christians for 70 or 80 or maybe more years. Most of our church have been Christians for 4 years or less, right? So collectively, we don't have a whole lot of maturity in our church. So we need maturity in Christ. And pray that God would provide a Japanese pastor. We really need someone to come along to carry on the work after us so that we can go on and plant another church. Pray for our relationship with the Japan Baptist Conference, that it would continue to go well, that we would continue to be on the same page, that we would all work collectively to reach this area of Japan that has 35 million people in it. That's huge. That's daunting. Pray that we would work together well. Pray for the missionaries. It's been so touching to talk to people that I know pray for us on a regular basis. I pray for you daily, some people say. That's a serious privilege. Thank you. As the pastor said, I appreciate you. Please continue to pray. Pray for Shan and for the Johnsons as they're filling in for the church while we're gone. And pray for Yudi as she's taking on extra roles as the acting field director while I'm away. All outside of their normal responsibilities. And pray for our family. Like I said last night, it's a privilege to be here with you, to get to see your faces, to get to share with you the amazing things God is doing. But for us, it's a crazy year, a year of separation in our family because of 38 churches that support us and visiting all these churches. So pray for our family, for godly influence in my son's lives, and for times of refreshment as a family, and for our family as we go back this August and we leave our son, Noah, here to go to university. A new chapter in life for us. Please continue to pray for our family. Our ministry is wrapped up in the verse Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's what ministry in Japan is all about. It's about doing things for God to shine his light so that others can come to praise him. And as I thought about this, I thought about this passage that I'm sharing with you today, Philippians 2:12-18, as was read earlier. Paul is writing to the Philippians. He's in prison. He planted the church in Philippi, and he's writing to them to thank them because they have cared for him and his needs, and they've sent someone to help care for him, Epaphroditus. And he's sending him back to the church in Philippi. And he's saying, thank you. But at the same time, he's reminding them of the things that are important in life. Right? It's his final days. Or so he thought. He's in prison. And he's writing the things that are important. Remember these things. And so he says to them, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That should kind of make us go, what? for a minute, right? Salvation, work out your salvation. What does that mean? I like to look at salvation as like threefold. There's three parts to it, the past, the present, and the future, right? Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. He paid the price for our sins. If we accept that, God looks at us as being sin-free and can relate with us again. That doesn't mean we don't stop sinning, but he looks at us justified, sin-free in his mind. That is something that happens once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Boom, it happened, and we move on with life. So that's in our past. We've asked Jesus Christ to be our Savior, our Lord and Savior. But we continue to sin. We continue to walk in this world, right? So we have to figure out, what does that mean? That I'm making Jesus my Lord and Savior. I'm going to have a relationship with God. What does that mean in my life? That is working out your salvation. Figuring out what God's truths are, how they apply to my life, what commands he gives me as I operate in this world. And Paul is saying to the church in Philippi, continue to work out your faith. Work out your salvation. And he says, with fear and trembling, take it seriously. It's very easy for us to say, I'm saved, great, I got my ticket, and now I don't need to grow. But the truth is, no matter how old we are, whether we're 2 or 102, we need to continue to work out our salvation seriously as a priority in our lives, because in reality, there's nothing that's more important than that. It's interesting that Paul tells the church in Philippi, right? He says, because it's God who makes you willing and able to do the things that he has purposed. It's kind of backwards. It's kind of this conundrum, right? Like, you have to kind of want to do it in order for God to make you want to do it. He's the one who'll make you willing and able. If you put forth the effort, if you step forward in faith, if you work out your salvation, he will make you more and more willing and able to do the things that he has commanded you to do. The things that he knows will bring about life abundant. The things that he knows will point you in the right direction as you head towards eternal life. But you have to know what those are. You have to deepen your faith walk. You have to learn who he is. And you have to do it seriously. That's something that we're trying to get our fellow church members in Japan to understand as well. Like I said, most of them, Christians for 4 years or less. Now, they don't understand. I mean, those of you who have grown up in the church, man, in your first 7 years of life, probably you learned more than they have in the last 4 years, right? And you just soaked it in by osmosis. They're trying to work out their faith. So they're reading the Bible, doing devotions, meeting at church, meeting in people's homes, studying his word, dialoguing about it, right? Trying to do those things that will help them grow deeper in their faith. In their faith, to work out that salvation and figure out what this present-day salvation means as we head towards the future salvation, which is eternal life. Now, part of what we've been doing is we've started to do leadership seminars, and we're developing a leadership hub in our church. So we want not only our church, but the other churches in our area and the churches in the JBC and our whole region to grow deeper in their faith. So we don't have a vision only for our church. We want our region, our area, and our region to come to know Jesus in a deeper way. So we started with seminars for women, right? Japan, a very male-dominated society, and we work with and under the Japan Baptist Conference. This could get complicated if we bring in some new initiative and just say, here's what we're going to do. So we started out with women's ministry. We started doing women's seminars. How can women develop a discerning heart? How can they relate to other women? How can they take the gospel message that they know and the truths that they found in Scripture? How can they learn more about that themselves? And how can they do small groups and help others do the same thing? So we've started seminars. And then we as a church, have been wanting to reach out to our community, so we brought in the expert. We brought in Cam Roxborough and said, okay, how do we, as a church, get on mission with God out there in the community, in our daily lives. How do we do that? We had a seminar on that. And then we've started a relationship with a good friend of mine. His name is Dr. Daisuke Okada, Japanese guy, who is running the Japan Bible Academy. It's a three-year Bible program that he'll lead you through at your church, not at some other institution, but in your church, in your setting. Application applies to the setting that you're in. And he just goes through the stuff that you would need in a Bible degree. Starts with hermeneutics, Old Testament, New Testament, Greek, Hebrew, all that. And just walks you through all of that. That's what we're starting to do. That's the road we're on. And it's been amazing to see the change in people's lives as they have grown, as they have grown deeper in their walk with Jesus Christ. As they have come to greater faith with him. The assurance is there. Confidence is there. Peace is there. But the biggest component for me is they realize who they are and who they were created to be. Their identity is truly in Christ. It's not in the groups that they're a part of. It's not them individually. Their identity is in Christ. And as a church body, what does that mean? We're developing that. You know, God calls all of us to do this. He calls all of us, even right here in Rowandale, even right here in Winnipeg, to grow deeper in our faith walk, to work out our salvation with him, with fear and trembling. It doesn't matter, like I said, if we're 2 or 102. We don't know it all, nor will we ever. We can still grow. We can still learn. Part of the issue is we live in a changing world. How do we take the principles that God has given us and apply it to the society, the environment in which we live? Paul goes on, right, and he says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life." The application of our faith, of our life in Jesus Christ, the outcome of that should be interaction with others around us. Doing everything without complaining and arguing, setting a good example in everything that we do. So that in this backdrop that we live, this crooked and depraved generation, we have contrast. We shine like the stars. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't go outside at night and take a book and try and read by the light of the stars. Do you do that? No, right? Really, even with the reading glasses, it doesn't help me. I don't go outside at night and try and get a tan or something, right? It's just the stars are bright in contrast to the background, but they're not bright by what we consider. But what is the closest star to Earth? The sun, absolutely. Now, can you take a book outside and read it by sunlight? Absolutely. Can you go outside and get a tan and feel the warmth and the life that the sun gives to the earth? Absolutely. Paul is saying that you need to work in such a way that you shine against the backdrop of the crooked and depraved situation that you're in. For the church in Philippi, it was a Roman colony. It wasn't a Greek city or Macedonian city. It was a Roman colony. It had the laws and mostly Romans who were living there. And it was a really crooked and depraved place. Paul said you should walk in a way that you shine, that you stand out, that you make a difference in that setting. Just like Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Paul is saying the same thing here in Philippians. You should shine in such a way like you're shining like the stars of the universe, as you hold out the word of life. I think he was thinking of the book of Daniel when he wrote this. If you have your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. Right, Daniel taken off to Babylon. Youth, where are you? We talked about this, right? Jeremiah wrote him a letter. Anyways. Daniel chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Says, at that time, right, Daniel's envisioning the end of times, at that time, Michael, the great prince who protects our people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Not only here, not only the salvation of the present, but in the future as well. Those who lead others to Christ, those who shine in such a way will shine like the stars in the universe, the stars in the heavens. Paul catches this idea. And he shares it with the Philippians. Shine like the stars in the heavens. Be wise in what you do. Work out your salvation so that you can be looked upon as different, as better, as right. So others can see the way you act and the way that you speak. And they can come to know Jesus Christ as well. That they might be written in the book of life as well. Right, we often think learning about God, discipleship, is important, and it is. We need to learn about God, but we also need to do things for God. We're not saved by works, but we are saved for works. If you turn one book back to Ephesians chapter 2, right, a very, very famous passage, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, for it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's a gift. We can't pray enough, we can't give enough, we can't read enough, we can't, I don't know, bake enough goodies or brew enough coffee to get into heaven. Right? It's a gift from God, so we can't boast about it. But in verse 10 he says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, now this blows my mind, actually, this idea, right? I try and accomplish something in my life. I try and line up visiting all 38 churches in a year. It's really hard to do. Just to affect something in your own life, I want this to happen, and you work towards it, and it's hard, and you finally accomplish it, and you're like, that's great. But our Almighty God walks ahead of all of us, every single one of us in Christ. He knows what our life is going to be, and he places good works in our path. He works situations together so that we can come upon something, boom, look, there's a good work for me to do. He does that for all of us. See, that's not mind-blowing? That blows my mind. I can't even do it for myself. He's doing it for every Christian on the planet. It's not coincidence. It's not happenstance. It's God walking before us, arranging things so that we can do the good deeds he has for us, and in doing so, shine his light so others can come to praise him as well as we hold forth the word of life. We're trying to teach this to our church as well. Individually, trying to get people into our homes. Trying to make connections with your neighbor. That's a huge thing in Japan. You don't get to know your neighbor because you always got to live next to him. So because you live next to him, you don't need to know him. Because if you offend him, then you still got to live next to him for all this time. Or if you cause shame on them, then you still got to live next to him all this time. If you shame your neighbors, people will actually move because they've shamed their neighbors. So getting to know your neighbor is a huge hurdle in Japan. We're trying to get our folks in our church to do that, to know their neighbors, to interact with their neighbors, to know their coworkers beyond just at work, to know the parents and the siblings of the kids' club members and those types of things. We meet together at church. I mean, we're Baptist, right? And in my mind, Baptist equals food. I don't know about you. Every time a Baptist gets together, there's some sort of food there, right? We do the same thing. Just trying to get people to fellowship together, to interact with others, to build those relationships. And the way that happens is by doing good things for others. Might come at a cost or a sacrifice, but doing good things for others. And then as you build that relationship, as you shine his light, then you are able to explain in word the word of life that you're holding out. We're doing that individually. We're teaching the church, the people in our church, to do this individually, but we're also doing it as a church. I mean, it's so awesome to see here today the different things that Rowandale is involved in, the different programs throughout Winnipeg and around the world. Now, we're engaged with our nursing home that's right behind our church. Started with Christmas caroling, and then it moved on to doing a craft event every other month. Just going to show the love of Jesus Christ. We don't bring the four spiritual laws or even the Jesus film, even though it is in Japanese already. We go and we embody Christ. We do things and say things that shine his light so that the people that are there will feel loved and will come to know us and come to recognize us as different from the backdrop of Japanese society. And they've started now, 4 years in, to ask questions about why we're different, why we're shining like the stars in the heavens. God wants us as a church to shine his light, but he wants us to do it individually as well. It's great to be sponsoring programs, to give gifts to people. But God calls us in our daily lives, in the situation that he's placed us in. He's gone ahead of each and every one of us, individually, not just as a church, to plant things in our path, to do the things that will shine his light to the people around us. It's really easy for us to say, ah, no, it's too hard, or ah, I don't really need to do that, or oh, I gave to this or that. But God has gone ahead of us. He's placed those things in our path to do so that we might shine, whether it's through church interactions or whether it's through individual relationships, so that others can come to know him as well. The song we sang earlier, I would go to the ends of the earth, right? So that he may be known, right? I don't go to the ends of the earth so that I might be known. Go to the ends of the earth so that he might be known. Maybe going to Timmy's is the same. Maybe going to Sobeys or Safeway or wherever it is you go is the same. Smitty's, I don't know, wherever it is. Maybe going there is the same thing. Do you go there that they may know him? Do you go there so that God's light might shine through you? Because that's what Paul is telling the church at Philippi. And that's what God is telling us today. We need to grow deeper and deeper in our walk with him so that we trust and rely on him. So that when he places those good deeds ahead of us in our lives and we see them, we're mature enough to do them so that God's light might shine through us. So let's shine. Let's shine for him. I'm going to pray real quickly. Sorry. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you that you have given us your holy word, that this book that Paul wrote, this letter that Paul wrote 2,000 years ago is here in our hands and we can learn from it. Father God, I ask that you would help us, whether it's in Japan or here in Winnipeg, to come to know you better, to work out our salvation, work out our faith daily, coming to know you better so that we might shine your light, your love, your life to those around us. Father God, I ask that you would continue to bless Rowandale Baptist Church. Bless the pastors, bless the leaders, bless the people who come. Father God, just pour out your blessing on this church that they might come to know you better, that they might abide in you better, so that they might shine your light, not only here, but all the way around the world as well. I just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.